speaking today with Leticia Gutierrez-Ablaza, who is running for Houston City Council in District I. Leticia, first question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
Well, everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has an issue or has a reason. And my reason, honestly, I never sought out to be a politician, like I tell people. It was never my goal in life. I'm originally born in Mexico. My parents were labor and farm workers. They came into the country through California. And it was easier back then, about 30 years ago. And so what they would do is they would come back and forth until they were able to gain permanent residency into the country. And so we've been in the district, we were in California, and then they moved over to Houston back in the early 80s. So we've been in the district about almost 30 years, because I used to live Pecan Park off of Broadway behind Dede Middle School. And, ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to live in this neighborhood. And so we've been living in this neighborhood, Glenbrook Valley, for almost 12 years. And, like I tell people, everyone wants the same thing. We all want to be able to, be in a community that thrives, be in a city that, you feel safe in. And right now, I don't feel that. I feel that our leaders have failed us. There's a lot of issues that are going on. And I almost feel like it's a calling. I don't consider myself a politician. I'd rather be called a civil servant. The way that things have been going, I mean, I understand that the city's in a budget shortfall. I know that there's issues going on. But at the same time, one questions the way that those things are, that money is being used and where exactly it's going and who's being affected. So again, I'm running because, bottom line, I want to see the change I want to be the change that we are all looking for in City Hall.
Glenbrook Valley. It was a cover story in the Houston Press a while ago in which featured you regarding the deed restrictions, the historic preservation ordinance. As someone who, doesn't feel very passionately about that one way or the other, help me understand why you feel the way you do about the historic preservation ordinance.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, we are not anti-historic preservation. We are for historic preservation. As a matter of fact, it's funny because my husband is originally from Houston, and the Esperson Building, for instance, is something that we cherish, and we always say we would chain ourselves to it if they were threatened to knock it down, or any other monument that's very important in the city of Houston. And one questions when the city can preserve certain monuments, they tear them down. Yet in a neighborhood where, quite frankly, the true mid-century modern homes that they want to save make up only about approximately 9% of the 1,255 homes. Now, having said that, the majority of the people were against this. Why? Because the ordinance had changed to make it more restrictive on property homeowners. One can argue, I don't want to get into the ordinance people tried to compromise saying there was a 90-day clause in there that protected the homeowner, meaning that was to deter builders to come in here and tear down and, rebuild without keeping the character of the neighborhood. We even talked about doing maybe a 180-day or extend that for as long as possible, because after that time, then the homeowner can still have their rights to be able to, let's say, change a door, that they want, as opposed to having to have the city approve a door to the front of their home that they feel fits their needs. And again, like I said, it was all about really the way that it was done, the process. There was a group of people, or a big section of the people here in our neighborhood that don't speak English, that either spoke Vietnamese or Spanish. And so what happened was that there was, I'm not going to question anyone's intentions. I understand that we all want the best. And a lot of people sold this is going to better our neighborhood, but never explained the ordinance, which is, the restrictions to your property. So a lot of people signed thinking, this is going to, bring my property values up, it's going to beautify the neighborhood. Who doesn't want that? So a lot of homeowners who didn't speak English, for whatever reason, they had neighbors or civic club members that came to their door asking for a signature, and they signed. when we found out, you know, that there was, we were never for or against it. Whenever the signatures were being collected, we figured the neighborhood wants it, fine. Well, after the application was submitted, that's when the ordinance changed to be more restrictive. And then that's when we started asking, well, wait a minute. It was literally the next day after the application was submitted when the ordinance changed. And then we started finding out slowly but surely that people were like, wait a minute, I didn't sign that. I never signed anything. Or people like my neighbor that doesn't speak English, he said, oh, I did sign something, but I didn't know it was that. So slowly but surely, you know, more and more stories started coming out about how people signed, why they signed. And they said, I want out of this. Well, the mayor said, great, you've got 6 weeks to get your signature off of this. And if the people don't want it, we're going to respect that. Well, people got their signature off of this, and the 51% that was needed, the planning department publicly stated, 51% is not here. You would think that they would have done the will of the people. And instead, what the mayor says is that the governing body knew what was best for our neighborhood. Now, again, you know, my background, by the way, is in finance and economics, and I can't find a theory or anything that states that when you subtract from the pool of people now that want to buy my home, because as I'm sure you saw, it's a plain 1950s ranch style home that there's not a shortage of in Houston, when they can go less than a mile up and buy the exact same home without the restrictions, that my property values are going to stay the same, much less increase. Now, my neighbors, I'm not an architect professional or background, but one would consider that a true mid-century modern, then his property values may increase. And I say may because, again, these are politicians playing with their most prized possessions. And, you know, I've yet to see any data, anything that points that this is going to secure our property rights. And, again, I don't see how it's going to motivate my neighbor down the street who wants to better, you know, fix his house up a little bit, going to motivate him to want to now do that when he's going to have to go through the extra red tape of not just the civic club and are strongly for deed restrictions, but now an extra add a layer to that. It's because, as I'm sure you know, there's fees and there's permits and all that comes, you know, together. And in an environment right now where everybody is hurting, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter who you are, everyone is cutting back, you know, people are going to get discouraged from wanting to do things that they would have normally done. So I don't see how this has been. I'm yet to see the beneficial factor of preserving. Again, having, like I mentioned before, we're for preserving, but doing it responsibly and informing the public, informing the community. Hey, listen, for instance, like in Idlewood, you know, they go out and they inform the residents. You know what? You may not want to change that brick, or you may not want to do this because it's going to lower, you know, not just your property value, but it might lower the rest of ours. You know, and they've actually became a part of the Texas historic conservatory group, which actually holds more water, by the way, that you get the designation without all of the restrictions that we have.
Okay.
So
that's fine. It's a complicated issue. Yeah. What would be your preference to amend or repeal the current ordinance? What would you do with it?
That's a very good question. First and foremost, you know, My goal, I think a good leader brings people together. You know, you don't want to divide people, you know, and turn, you know, pin neighbor against neighbor. I've got three children. I want my neighborhood to be, and my community to be thriving, healthy, safe. I don't want neighbors to be upset at me because I happen to, you know, see something wrong. Why can't we come together and say, listen, I respect that you want your house to be historic. Why don't we do it on a per individual basis? If your house is deemed historic, then why not place a historical marker or, you know, take a look at exactly what is it that we're preserving? Because, again, these are 1,255 homes, and I can't speak for the Heights because, you know, there's a different monster there. But, you know, here, these homes are barely 50 years old, and there's no data, again, to sustain or to show me that it's going to help our property values. So, again, I think that if it was a community-based where we all come together, and I know not everyone's going to be happy, but if we can come together and agree, you know, listen, let's try to do something where it's going to help our property values, it's going to make everyone at least somewhat happy, then, you know, I'm willing to take it to the people and find out what it is that they want. What is it that we truly want? So that's, you know, I mean, again, maybe possibly putting, you know, a 90-day or 180-day clause in there to deter builders. You know, something where you can give a little bit of the power back to the, you know, to the homeowner. And again, you know, look at the trend. I mean, property values are decreasing in the Heights. People are actually going into H, or is it the HCAD, to have their property values decrease because they're not able to sell it at the price that they, apparently it's currently marketed for, according, you know, according to the Harris County Appraisal District. Because a lot of homes are selling for a lesser value. Because again, people don't want to necessarily buy a house if it's going to need work, if they're going to have to go through the extra red tape and bureaucracy and everything of fixing it.
Okay, let's talk about the city's budget, since obviously that's been a dominant issue for the past few years. The budget that was passed by City Council reduced spending by about $100 million. Some 747 people were laid off. There's been some changes since then. What is your assessment of the budget that council passed a few months ago?
Well, I understand that the city's in a budget shortfall, and we all have to cut back. I mean, everybody is cutting back. I think people understand that. The problem lies, again, is where this money is being spent. You know, when you've got the city spending money on art or, you know, spending money on parties and things that, you know, to attract businesses or to attract, you know, I think the best way to do that is to not fee and permit people to death, you know, to where they don't want to do business in the city of Houston. I mean, you have businesses that are leaving the city of Houston at a pretty rapid rate right now. And they're not just going to San Antonio or to Austin or, you know, they're going right outside the city limits. Why? Because it's better to do business outside the city of Houston than it is inside. You know, I've got a business owner who, because of the drainage tax, he's having to lay off people because he owns a very huge impervious surface, and he can't keep up with the demands of the permit and the fees, and now an extra added rain tax, you know, is close to, I believe he said, about $800 a month, you know, and he's got a few properties, so we've got to let people go. So, again, we've got to take a look at where is this money being spent, who's being affected, and I'm all for, you know, obviously, you know, going into a department and, if it, you know, talking to the people there, and if there's a way to do things better to be able to cut back, then definitely. But again, people want to see, you know, that city government is being efficient with their money, you know, and not being spent in areas that, you know, it's not benefiting us. It's not, you know, something has to be said when, you know, I always say this example because it's a personal example, but, you know, I drive into my garage and I find a burglar, you know, and I've got my two children in the car and I had my windows cracked down and, you know, I freaked and he's trying to stick his hands inside my car, you know, and I call 911 screaming, pleading for my life. And the cop, you know, and no disrespect to the cop, but he gets here 50 minutes later. You know, the guy luckily left because he saw my neighbor opening his door coming this way. But, you know, yet a few months later, I'm changing the heater in my house, and I have a contractor obviously in the front of my house. My contractor leaves to go get a permit because he couldn't decide whether it was my furnace needed to be replaced or repaired. And 20 minutes later, I get a knock, you know, from a city inspector asking me, what am I doing, what's going on? You know, when I explained to him that my contractor had left to go get a permit, you know, he said, yeah, but, you know, you live in a historic area, the permit has to be cleared, you know, you've got to, you know, follow. You know, again, I'm all, you know, I mean, there's obviously a breakdown in the process if I can get a city inspector out here quicker than if I'm fearing my life. You know, and I think that's why people are also leaving the city. You know, we need to be able to market to people to want to do business here, to be able to increase the revenue. And how do you do that? People want, like I said, people want to feel safe. They don't want to hear that there's a backup crime lab. They don't want to hear that there's, you know, over 15,000 untested rape kits and that there's rapists walking the streets. Or that there's possible, you know, people incarcerated right now that could be innocent because of these acts of crime. I mean, people don't want to hear that and, you know, and want to move here. It just doesn't work that way.
You've mentioned the drainage fee a couple of times. I take it you voted against it last year?
We did vote against it. And again, you know, people say, well, you know, we need, you know, to have drainage. You know, we need to fix our drainage.
I mean, you live right near a bayou.
Right, exactly. And knock on wood, the bayou's never have been a problem. The problem has been, yes, in the infrastructure and the way that, you know, the streets here flow and everything. But again, you know, I question where was the money that they had set aside before that? What happened to that money?
They've been using the CIP process in debt.
Right.
The point of the drainage fee was to be able to pay as you go for it. Is that not appealing?
Well, again, okay, all right, I give this to you then. If that was the point, then where are the plans? You know, people want to see plans. I mean, you are not, or the city is not allowed to reroute one drop of water into that bayou without meeting with the Harris County flood people first. So, as far as my knowledge is, I don't know if they've met now, but prior to this, they hadn't. There were no plans, and even the mayor herself has said, we're driving the car as we're building it. Well, people don't want to hear that. They want to see, look, here are the plans, here's what we propose, this is how much it's going to cost, and if you tell people, look, $5 to me and you may not seem like a lot, but $5 to people in, you know, poor neighborhood is a lot of money. And it wasn't $5, by the way. Ours is $23 a month. And again, you know, I know that they said that they weren't taxing churches, you know, that they, you know, decided not to tax churches and nonprofits, but some are. Some are being taxed. There's, you know, a ministry that actually feeds poor people that is having to cut back because their drainage fee went up. So, you know, I'm not quite clear how they decided who was going to get what, because there are some schools, by the way, that are paying the drainage fee. Again, you know, like, for instance, the airport, those fees are going to get trickled down to the consumer. And that's another thing people don't think about, is that all of these fees are going to be trickled down to the consumer when it comes to grocery stores or whenever we go purchase things. And, it, you know, we're all about paying our fair share, but be fair about it and show us the plans before you decide to implement the biggest tax increase, especially on the Houston's poor, you know, before you go forward. I mean, like I said, it has to be fair, it has to be just, and you have to be able to just, you know, be able to show where it is that you're going with this.
Okay. What's your assessment of Mayor Parker in her first term in office?
You know, I know that she's had some very tough challenges. I respect her, you know, because, I mean, she literally came into a lot of mess, you know, budgetary and otherwise. But I think her biggest weakness, I guess if you can say that, is that, you know, listening to the people, you know, I mean, red light cameras, for instance, you know, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't that involved. We did vote against them simply because I didn't see, I mean, well, even my own opponent had stated that it was a revenue-based thing. It wasn't about really safety. It was about creating revenue. Well, again, you know, if that's what it is, then you need to tell people that's what it is. You know, you're not, I mean, statistics now show that apparently you can't change driver behavior by that, especially when you're shortening the yellow light. I know the one that's right here off of Woodridge where my parents live, there's accidents all the time because people slam on their brakes and there's an, you know, accident. So I don't see how that's, again, helping. So, you know, when the people voted that down, you respect that. You know, you don't turn them on, turn them back off, and then say, oh, there's, you know, now we're going to have to pay $25 million, which from what I understand is not true now. You know, there was an escape clause that they could have used in order to go ahead that was a lot less, that they could have just done and done away with it and respected the will of the people. I mean, it was on the ballot. You know, don't play games. You don't have to go out and take a poll out for yourself and see how popular you are to decide whether you should respect the will of the people or not. Again, you know, I know people say, well, like, you're just a one-issue person, that's why you got involved, with because of the historic issue. No, the historic issue is a big issue, but it's just a symptom of what's going on. You know, I feel that people's voices are not being heard. And the many of times that, you know, we've gone up to City Hall and try to explain certain issues, we just feel like it's almost like an arrogance, like, I don't really care, you know? And it's not just by, well, clearly by the way, you know, what she does, but then her demeanor, you know, sometimes she purposely gets out and walks out when she sees our group, you know, coming up to speak, or, and not just about historical issues, just about, you know, issues in general. And like I said, I mean, that to me, it just, it doesn't look good, you know. I understand that you're not always going to agree with someone 100% of the time. I mean, I don't agree with my husband 100% of the time, but you know what, we respect each other, and we try to compromise, and we try to make sure that we do the best that we can going forward. And if the people see that, if the people see that she does care, you know, I think that there would be a little bit of a different sentiment. But unfortunately, there's been some things, obviously, that she's done the opposite on, and that's why I feel that she's gotten a lot of heat because of that.
Since you've mentioned jobs and employers a couple of times, mayors recently got an initiative called Hire Houston First that is geared towards giving preferences towards contractors and whatnot that do business in the city. What is your opinion of that?
Well, you know, again, you know, we're going to be paying them more, which is more taxpayer money, to try to entice them to, you know, do business with us after the city has already upset a lot of them because by not paying, fulfilling their contracts, you know, by feeing them, by permitting them, you know, I mean, fees have gone, like I said, doubled or tripled on many of the permits. So it's almost like you're trying to, you know, get them to come and do business with you after you've already scared them away. So, again, you know, and then it's like the contracts that are left, because mind you, they've already been doing contracts with out-of-state businesses. So it's like whatever, it's kind of like, well, you know, this is what's left, so here you go. You know, businesses don't feel warm and fuzzy about that.
You've mentioned the fees a couple of times. The argument the city made at the time with these was that there were a number of fees that weren't covering their own cost of whatever it was.
Right.
Do you disagree with that?
Well, again, you know, if you show people what it is that you're doing, but if you're trying to, you know, increase the revenue, how are you going to do that by deterring people from doing business or closing them? Or how can you say you're for jobs if you're increasing, it's basically an indirect tax, you know, on companies, which in some of these permits, I mean, I question them. Are they for the health and safety? Are they there to protect us? Because some of them aren't. They're just, I mean, a lot of businesses feel that they're just there as another way to create revenue. And again, in the recession that we are right now, we should be trying not necessarily to decrease, because obviously we need to, you know, sustain what we have, but again, market to businesses and small businesses to want to come in and do business. I would even propose, like, if you're a new business and you want to, you know, start a new business in Houston, why can't we waive some of those permits and fees maybe for the first couple of years? You know, because especially we're going to be creating jobs and creating, you know, a market. I mean, I think that just makes sense.
Okay. And when people go to vote this November 8th, why should they vote for you to be the next council member in District I?
Great question. Like I tell people, if you want business as usual, if you're happy with the way things are going, you know, and government not listening to the voice of the people, then fine. But if you want to change, and I know change sometimes can be scary, but if you want change and you want me, and you've seen what I've been doing, fighting for people, whether you're you know, for the issue or not, it's not about you. You're a representative of the people. You know, you're there to represent the people. And if the people say one thing, I will fight for you. And like, you know, I always tell people, and help me help you. There are issues in our community that are plaguing us. If you come to me with an issue, you know, a lot of people say, well, you don't have any political experience. Well, that's okay, fine. I don't, but I do have, you know, my background in finance and economics, where, you know, I will use everything, any tool that I can possibly use within the city to be able to get things done, be able to get people involved, you know, be able to just listen to what is going on and not continuously, you know, try to suppress them. And then another big thing, and mind you, I'm representing my whole district, no matter, you know, what your race is or what your ethnicity is, all of the above, but when you claim that you're representing the Hispanic community, there's people in our community that don't speak English. You know, my parents, for instance, don't speak English, but they're voters, they're U.S. residents, and that's a lot of our district. So I think it's important to be able to communicate with them, you know, or at least make the effort to do it, you know, because I don't see how that's going to help your community if you can't communicate. So I would strongly encourage people, obviously, to vote for me. If you want somebody to fight for you, if you want to have a voice, then you definitely want me up there in City Council.
Okay. Leticia Gutierrez of Bluffton, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Charles.